This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, John Lopez got a lot of apologizing to do, which I don't think he can even make up for at this point from the 281. John over here trying to kill his wife with a rubber rat. What's that life insurance payout look like, my guy?
It was funny.
I don't know. There might have been ulterior motives. We haven't ruled all of those things out. Speaking of not being able to rule some things out, D'Amico Ryans, coach of the Texans, apparently speaking in front of the assembled media, said that the Texans are still evaluating to see where Stephon Diggs is. I don't know if that's good or bad.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
It ain't great.
Right, because I'm like, yeah. I thought that's what the medical staff was. So I thought we could get to the answers pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like an MRI should probably give us an idea. So the idea that there's not a definitive, like, hey, this is what it is, I think probably good in some ways that it's like, hey, it's not that, oh, yeah, that's clearly a tear and boom, we move on to the next. But also, it's not as clean as, okay, well, there's nothing there. He's good. We just need to figure it out. But I think I lean towards that this is positive news. Does that sound right?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
And not to be, Debbie Downer or whatever.
No, please.
Still evaluating damn near 24 hours later. You know something.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that.
But they're waiting for the MRI.
Yeah, they're probably trying to look through every avenue to make sure.
That in my mind says he's not like he's, probably not feeling good, obviously, that the knee doesn't feel great, but you're still looking for like something that would be the real cause of that pain and that injury. And it seems like if you've not been able to figure it out just yet, maybe it's like, all right, well, maybe he's just dealing with pain and we have to work with that. So I don't know. We'll keep looking. That's all speculation. Reckless speculation.
Yeah.
Here in the loop. On Sports Radio 610. Also, I think we got to go to the phone. Someone was calling to weigh in on this Texans victory. Lamont, what you got?
Hey, what's the deal, fellas? Say, man, I know that the offensive line does not look good right now. But and I don't want the Texans to get mad. Texans fans to get mad at me right now. What I think that's happening right now with all of these defenses playing C.J. Stroud a little bit more different. We got to go all the way back to the offseason. When we thought it was cute. When he was going into the banter with, I'm a dog this, I'm a dog that. And especially with the team that they just played, he has some issues with them. I just want to know from you guys, do C.J. Stroud go into the next offseason, still talking all of that mad crap? What's even more bad about it? You talk a lot of mad crap. It's one thing to talk crap. If you got a solid offensive line, you was talking a whole bunch of mad crap this offseason, and your offensive line looks like wet toilet paper. And so, man, I don't have a problem with talking crap. One thing I'm trying to say is, I'm thinking a lot of these defenses playing them a little bit more aggressive right now. We're seeing things right now back to the we're seeing that level of aggression going at the quarterback right now. In other words, what I'm saying is, I'm thinking offensive line sucks, but he's a walking bulletin board, man, because they put a lot of stuff out there in the off season, and thinking the chickens are coming on the roost right now. But
all right, Lamont, you're breaking up. You're breaking up there, but I'm not getting the gist of it. I'm not putting that at CJ for talking, man. Like I understand what you're going at is, hey man, you're putting the battery in the defense's back. The battery is already there from CJ having an incredible first year, and the Texans now being widely regarded as one of those teams. They're up there, and their teams are going to come for them regardless.
I think, you know, you can maybe nitpick that. You know, this is what we were talking about in the last segment.
It fits right in.
You can maybe nitpick that, and I'm not going to say you're crazy, but I also feel like I want CJ Stroud to be CJ Stroud. And that's what he is.
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of guy he is.
That's part of the competition
of it
all.
It's how he plays. It's how he wires himself and gets himself going. But, again, you know, when you're struggling and the offensive line is bad, and he's not necessarily struggling, but, you know, collectively, that's the kind of things that people can point back to. I just don't think I want him to change.
No, yeah. I mean, that's a dude being confident, but also – to some degree, like Lamont talking about the idea that CJ in the offseason, you know, talking big and talking the trash that he does as he's, you know, kind of a trash talker. Now you're seeing those chickens come home to roost with teams coming against you. I don't think that that's NFL. Let me say it like this. NFL quarterbacks, I do think they think about that, right? Like that's part of why we get coach speak, and that's why we get like the driest responses from quarterbacks that are you know, established in this, is because they know everything you say is either going to be twisted by the media or there's other players around the league.
But they got to be true to himself.
They do. All right.
Speaking of nitpick,
let's nitpick some more on a victory Monday. What are the things that even though you got a victory, what are some of the things that we need to acknowledge in the course of this? And Lopez, I think that obviously one of those things is we talked about Kenyon Green.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just Kenyon Green.
I just feel like, you know, Kenyon Green, you know, everybody else should really be thankful that Kenyon Green was so awful in terms of the blowback they're getting, the criticism they're getting. Laremy Tunsil had a very high grade. Laremy Tunsil graded highly on the offensive line. Juice Scruggs has not been the Juice Scruggs that I saw earlier in the year and thought that he would be. It's not necessarily his fault. You know, the pitch that ended up being a returned pitch that was overturned. But he did step back and step on C.J. Stroud's foot as he was spinning, and he pitched that, so it might have affected it. But he also, the bigger thing is, he wasn't getting to the second level and sealing guys the way that he normally had. It was a lot of Joe Mixon doing that. He didn't stink, but it's not just Kenyon Green. I feel like, you know, we know that Shaq has been somewhat uneven as well. And when you're pressured on 57% of your dropbacks, it's not just one guy.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
I think that some of this is an indictment of the line in general, that I don't have super high expectations generally. Mm-hmm. Like, I expect them to be some level of porous. Just like, give it be a relative consistent level of porous and one that I can anticipate, as opposed to getting beat immediately off the line,
right,
a la Kenyon Green versus Buckner or Odeyingbo, right? Like, don't do that. Let's do something that's a little bit more consistent. Speaking on that line, though, one of the things that Bobby Slowick talked about that I found really interesting when he did talk on Thursday, we revisited on Friday. We need to get to the offense. We need to get to the line, get to the huddle sooner, right? So that you can get up and you can diagnose pass protection and diagnose what you're doing here. So give yourself the best opportunity to be successful. Hey, man, it felt like they were getting up there late again, right? Especially once you got into the second half. I know that Clint turned over and talked to me about it specifically. I thought we was getting up to the line. Well, they were up until they weren't, right? So, like, did the emphasis fade after a half?
God, you and I didn't even talk about this. And so I went out into the stands after the first half, or into the third quarter, and there was a point where the play clock was right in front of me. I was in one end zone, and dude, I saw at least three or four plays where it was 10 seconds remaining on the clock when they broke the huddle, 9. I saw an 8. That's not what you want. You know, you're breaking the huddle, or getting to the line, I should say, at 8 or 9 seconds. That's exactly, you know, kind of reverting to your bad habits.
Right. And I think those are the things that are, again, and I don't want you to bring up the thing that you said in response to the last time I brought this up, because Wade Smith caught it, and I don't think we can do this again. Mm-hmm. Right. But it feels like there's holes in the boat, and you're trying to plug them. You're playing whack-a-mole, right, with this offensive line. So many times, you fix one issue or you address one issue and another one pops up.
Yeah.
The whole idea is that these needs to be full-on repairs where you fix that issue and you don't worry about it again.
Yeah.
But it feels like, all right, well, now we've gotten to where we're getting up there. We're, you know, we're breaking the huddle with time. But once we start paying attention over here, well, let's over here. That pops back up. That can't be the case.
Yeah.
It can't be that.
No. I really want to say it.
No, really? Don't do that.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's a common expression.
Then why are you hesitating to say it?
Because you're putting pressure
because you
on
know
me
better. Because you know better.
You're putting don't pressure. Say it.
Don't. Mm-mm. Don't do that.
So, like, there's a lot of holes.
Yeah.
And you're trying to, you know, cover them all. Is
yes.
What you're saying.
Don't do it. I see you really wanting to.
I
don't
really
do that.
Want to, but I'm not.
There's been a lot of conversation about, like, obviously, trade deadline's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Wide receiver, you know, you have Stephon Diggs come up with an injury, and people are like, oh, trade for a wide receiver. I think you have depth there. The place where it would be most beneficial is to trade for an offensive lineman.
How?
That's the question I could keep asking.
How?
Like, now, Nick Caserio. Don't be me, right? Go and look.
Mm-hmm.
I am not very optimistic that you're going to find a team that has a guard worth trading for that it's going to be willing to trade them to you, right? I just don't think that that's something that teams have readily available. It's just, I got extra guards in the tuck, right? Let's just go to the guard store. I don't think that exists.
I don't think you can do that. All right, so here's another nitpick for me. And, you know, if we're under the impression that you know, the Texans are one of the things that we're being so nitpicky about is because we have higher standard now.
Yes.
It's a team, even though, you know, they're 6-2, like this 6-2 last year, we would have been doing backflips. I mean, not literally, obviously, in my case. But part of the reason is you have different standards. So maybe this is too much of a nitpick, but is it possible that a big return is going to come and haunt this team? They've given up a two or three, right?
That's
maybe
fair.
30 yards here.
It, I mean, if there's any place to put
there.
This is the segment to put that.
That like they had another big return that they gave up yesterday, and I'm like, okay, so if you get in, we're acknowledging it's going to be a close game. We're acknowledging that Kyahmi Fairbairn is a top five player going down the stretch because it's a close game and you can rely on him. Well, then you have to rely on. You have to also acknowledge. You can't give up a big return. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Because if it's going to be a close game, that could be something that haunts you.
Yeah, I think Frank Ross has a couple of things to pay attention to if we're going to all the way nitpick. It seems like now, as you Lopez, have angered our guy, Tommy Townsend,
mm-hmm.
and he is just booming the ball, I think he's been a couple of times where it feels like he's outkicked the coverage.
We did once last week and once yesterday.
Yeah, so those are the two times I'm thinking about where it feels like, okay, now we're booming the ball a little too much. You want to get distance, and of course, you know, in this instance, it sounds like he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't. But you have to find the right range on that to where you're getting good distance, but you're also not giving that returner an opportunity to get up to speed and mess up your coverage.
Yeah.
So I do think that is there if we're talking about some real nitpicks. Some other nitpicks, again. I have already come out on my wax saying that I believe this defensive line to be the single best unit on this team, bar none. However, in this game in particular, knowing Anthony Richardson, I think that they left a lot more opportunities for Anthony Richardson to break and run.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they contained him as well as it feels like they did in week one. I felt like there was more opportunities for him to break and run in this game than I was happy with.
Yeah.
And he picked up some big yards in that way as well.
No, I think you're right, and I absolutely agree with that. I feel like, part of it was we were talking about just contain him. It kind of like, it's almost as if they started out that way, and then they didn't think he was going to run as much. And so they started kind of closing the deal a little bit, you know? Last one for me, and it's not a nitpick. I think it's just more of an acknowledgement that maybe we had too high of an expectation. Danico Autry is still trying to find his feet a little bit. Still trying to, get into the form that we were hoping to get. He had 45% of the snaps yesterday and really didn't really stand out, you know, in any particular way.
This is a nitpick for me, and I would love to hear some of, you know, what, I don't know, maybe Matt Burke, and although it's kind of unfortunate, I don't think the coordinators are going to talk this week because of the short week.
Right.
They were running a lot of man defense, especially early on in this game. And it feels like, particularly with the offense and the big-time playmakers, or like the speed, rather, that they have, right? That's the real thing that the wide receivers pose, a challenge, or the challenge that they pose to your Texans team, is that they can run by you. With some guys that you know are not necessarily the speediest in coverage for the Texans, having these guys in man so often with the single-high safety, I mean, maybe that allowed you to obviously get some, you know, blitzes and kind of pressure up front. But I was like, I didn't really love that idea. And that's what allowed them to, you know, get that rub route that, you know, gets Jalen Petrie off. And then now you have Josh Downs booty butt naked open down the left side of the field for an easy touchdown. It felt like they would put their guys in their secondary in a lot of situations where they're covering man up. And I didn't know that they needed to do it to the extent that they did.
I don't disagree. You mentioned that to me when we were watching the game. But I also feel that's actually more of an Anthony Richardson thing, that they didn't think Anthony Richardson could, you know, pick them apart.
That's possible.
You know?
But I figure, like, if you don't believe that they could pick you apart, we're going to go ahead and too high. And then if
just
you
watch him running.
If you can keep hitting you know, your receiver in these
face
spots
forward
in the zone.
Yeah.
And now we can break on the football, right? Like if we don't trust you to, you know, or if we don't believe that you can actually beat us with the arm, we're going to make you throw the ball more often as opposed to like these big shots and see if you can actually beat us that way. And the fact of the matter is, you know, at this point in his career, Anthony Richardson's can't. Now, I ain't no defensive coordinator, so maybe there's a good reason behind it. I wanted to leave that available, but I was kind of shocked by how much.
It was a lot early on, especially.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's a nitpick, but it's because there's a big-time victory, 23-20, that gives the Texans an effective three-game lead over the Colts in the AFC South, and really, I don't want to say salts away the division, but really gives them a solid lead to the point where
you
can really focus on being the best team as possible, as opposed to necessarily focusing on the division hardly at all. But right here in the loop, at about this time, we got to hand it over to Fig, especially now that he back. Fig, what we got in the next tape?
Yeah, man. So I want to play the game that's kind of sweeping the nation. Is that taking it too far?
Oh.
I got a couple stories from the weekend, and I'm going to give you all the stories, and I want to know, did they take it too far?
Okay.
All right, let's find out if they took it too far.
As long as I'm not mentioned.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone out there. Hopefully everyone had a good weekend, because I sure didn't. I was throwing up. I felt like a kid in college that was drinking all night, just throwing up at the toilet, man. It was rough for me. But I hope everybody else had a good weekend. I want to play this funny. I don't want to call it a game, but I got a couple stories from this weekend, and I want to know if these folks actually took it too far. So, Sunday night football, Dallas were facing the 49ers. And look, the Cowboys got kind of cooked.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying that to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike Leslie, a reporter at WFAA in Dallas, tweeted during this Cowboys game. I think he retweeted a video of Trayvon Diggs. And he tweeted and said, "What is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play?"
Yeah.
And it was the play where George Kittle got all the way down to the 1 yard line.
Yeah.
Here is Trayvon Diggs. He has some words to say about this young man and his tweet.
Took from that, out of that whole play that you took from that, you don't know football. You can't do nothing that I do. You can't go out there and do nothing. Stay in your lane, buddy. Stop playing me, bro.
Just asking a question, Trayvon. I mean, I'm happy to have you answer the question.
Question. Out of that whole play, that's what you took from that? That's what you got from that? That whole play, that's what you got from that?
I'm asking.
We can talk about it more. What were you doing that?
Now, let me remind y'all what he tweeted. He tweeted, "What is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play?"
Yeah, so the play,
I think that was it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was nothing extra. He ain't put no sauce on it.
No, but I mean, it's the implication behind it. So on the play, Trayvon Diggs is, I mean, he's a right side corner. So his wide receiver goes, and it's kind of like there's a wheel route that comes out behind it with, it was a slant that Kittle caught, and then he's going up the sideline. He has man responsibilities there. So he is paying attention to the man that he is running with. Then he sees Kittle, then he turns, and he is the second closest man, but you can see him kind of slow up a little bit. I think that's ultimately what we're getting at. And then he when he realizes, oh, that guy's not getting to him, he puts it in another gear, tries to go and tag George Kittle. So in some ways, you can either think that Leslie is asking, why didn't he do anything about that? And I imagine that might be one of the things that Diggs is thinking about, like, hey, how can you not see that wasn't my responsibility? Or he might be talking about, yo, why is Trayvon Diggs throttling down when the play's still going?
Right.
And at which point Trayvon is mad at him basically impugning his character, especially because around them parts, they be worrying about if Trayvon Diggs is willing to go and tackle, mm-hmm. get his nose dirty, those types of things. So it's like, oh, here's another time it's Trayvon not getting after it, which I'm sure Trayvon is not trying to hear. But ultimately, the big thing about this for me, Lopez, is that their owners breaking bad with yeah, actually, that's more important. Whatever I was gonna say. Hey, let's talk about D's nuts. Is that not funny? That is funny every single time.
It's just so every funny time. Because I seen him going after the reporter first.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, this reporter must have been calling his game out.
See, that's the point, Figgy. That's the most important thing.
He then went all the way, you don't know ball and all this other stuff.
How is this any different from any city, anywhere, whether it's reporters, but let's just say reporters, saying sarcastically or critically, mm-hmm. you know, what is player X doing on this play? Happens every week, everywhere. And to be that, like all of a sudden, I think he just felt bad that he got caught out.
I think that the team owner is out here breaking bad with the media, so now they can break bad with the media.
Yeah.
However, if you're going to break bad with the media, throw a D's nut choke in there. I'll laugh every time. I'm good with it. Like I'm not going to moralize about, oh, man, take the criticism. Talk about D's nuts. Yeah, you're right. You know what? Hilarious. I'm with it.
Hey, they're having a rough season, so I think everybody kind of a little frustrated mm-hmm. over there. So, yeah, man. Did this person take it too far? I'm sticking with football on this one. So Kalen Saunders mm-hmm. for the Saints had some things to say to Emmanuel Acho because of that play where Nathan Shepard made on Justin Herbert mm-hmm. where he kind of twisted his leg. Looked like he was trying to break his leg off.
Yeah.
He called it a gator roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Acho tweeted, this play was dirty as hell, just blatantly trying to injure Justin Herbert. No place in the game for this. Absolute trash.
Correct.
Trash.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Kalen responded to this. Ho, if you actually watch the play, you see that he hit him right before Justin underhand flipped the ball to the RB to avoid the sack. He thinking Herbert still has the ball. STFU with that lame ass bleep.
Nah.
Yeah, I agree.
Did he take it too far?
Well, yeah, first of all.
That was a dirty play.
Yeah, I mean, first of all that extra stuff.
Yeah.
Right, in that tweet was doing a lot. But yes,
calling somebody a hoe.
Yeah. That's all we say. You started with
the play.
that one also, if you actually watch the play, it's like, oh, okay.
Yes.
You questioned.
So I wasn't watching the play from the first time.
Mm-hmm. Also, we all got eyes. He was wilding.
It was a dirty play.
Like, is that his man's or something? He jumped
see the
up,
offensive lineman come in?
He jumped up in defense in a way where like, hey man, that's indefensible. Yeah. He was out here
need
trying
some
to
offensive lineman like that.
Yeah. That guy wasn't having it.
I need people in my life just in general like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I need some bodyguards like that.
Is it bad that I thought about last week when we were talking about the lineman not coming to CJ Stroud's defense?
Yeah, I thought about it too.
Because that man, he jumped right in there. And not only did he hit him to the point where Justin Herbert had to come get him. All right, that's enough.
He came out the screen.
He wasn't even in the frame.
Yeah. He just came out. Oops.
He's gonna get a nice watch out of the deal at the end of the season. Him.
Hey, Justin need to take care of that
little
man.
Rolex,
right there.
Something like that.
All right, is this going too far?
Yes.
You already know where I'm going.
Yes, I do.
So a man exposes his sister's secret OnlyFans account to her fiance just weeks before the wedding. So let me break this story down.
Mm-hmm.
So he began, he mentioned this on Reddit. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people like to vent out on Reddit for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So he began by saying this. So my sister Amy is getting married next month to Tom. They've been together for 3 years and seems perfect for each other. Tom, a bit more traditional, comes from a conservative family. Last week, I was hanging out with my buddy Mike. He was scrolling through OnlyFans and suddenly goes, dude, isn't this your sister?
What?
I looked and said, holy bleep, it was Amy. She's been running this account for over a year, posting pretty explicit stuff. I was stunned. Amy has always been a good girl of the family, he continued. The man confronted his sister, who begged him not to tell Tom. So she broke down and admitted everything. She started to, I guess she started it to pay off student loans, but she kept it going because the money was so good.
Mm-hmm.
She begged me not to tell Tom, saying she'll stop and delete everything. Here's the thing. Tom's talked before about how he could never be with somebody who does sex work.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even like it when Amy wears revealing clothes. I gave Amy a week to come clean. She didn't. Now the wedding is in 2 weeks, and I can't shake that feeling that Tom's walking into a marriage built on lies, the man explained. So he decided to tell Tom, who was left devastated and ultimately called off the wedding. So the man continues to say how everyone's mad at me. Amy's a mess, saying I ruined her life. Our parents think I should have kept my mouth shut. Tom is thankful, but the whole situation is just effed. I feel like bleep, but also Tom deserved to know.
So here's the thing. That's his sister.
Yeah.
That's his sister. And I said, yes, he went too far. I mean, obviously a lot of people in that situation would want to know, but that's on her to tell him. That's on her to tell him, I think.
So you think he did the right thing?
I think he did the wrong thing.
I think morally, I see where you do it. I don't know that I could have done it, though, right? Like, because here's the thing. That's the type of situation that you get into where you are doing the right thing, and depending on how that person responds, they might not be happy about you doing the right thing. Tom is the instance where I'm talking about. Like, because mm-hmm. it seems like there was a genuine bond towards Tom where he was like, nah, this dude deserves to know. And especially because, like, hey, that would have definitely caused some issues down the line, right? But I just don't know that I could have myself in people's business like that. With all that being said, the part of this story that I really took issue with, scrolling OnlyFans, my boy?
Yeah.
So you and your homeboy were sitting together, hanging out, and he was scrolling OnlyFans. What do y'all do?
Like it was Instagram.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, man, he was just scrolling OnlyFans together at the same time.
Let's get together and scroll OnlyFans.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Is this Amy?
Yeah. It's a little dicey. I mean, you know, because first of all, the other thing, I shouldn't say first of all, like, if he was that conservative and didn't even want her to dress like in revealing clothes, and she's doing OnlyFans, probably wasn't going to work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
marriage probably would have ended.
And I think that's probably why I was like, yo, let him know right now, save them some time.
Yeah.
But also, that's not my business to be in.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would have. I definitely would have had a talk with her, be like, nah, that ain't cool, man.
And it seems like you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did my part.
Yeah.
Like, that's on y'all. That's y'all business.
Yeah, you take it from here.
Yeah, they ain't got nothing on me. Sometimes being truthful makes everything worse.
Yeah.
All right, this is the last thing right here. So KFC wants you to fall asleep to the sound of fried chicken. Have you heard about this?
Have not.
No.
So KFC teamed up with a sleep company called Hatch for a new white noise sound. And that sound is chicken being fried. People think it sounds like rain. So I want to give it a test right here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if they're taking it too far with this. But I want to give it a test to see mm-hmm. if you could go to sleep to the sound of frying chicken.
Absolutely.
It's just white noise.
It's not the smell of frying chicken.
It's the sound of fried chicken.
I used to use a white noise machine, but now that we're kind of close to a highway where I live, you can kind of hear the cars going by, and it's very soothing at a distance, you know. White noise machines are really cool, work.
If that's something that you need, it's kind of that kind of drill. I mean, that when it comes to like Foley, you know how they Foley make sound for films and TV and stuff. They use the sound of fried chicken for rain. Like, that is something that they actually
know that.
Yeah. Mm. So like, yeah, this falls right in.
This would work.
I just don't get why KFC is always so involved in these bits instead of just like doing good food.
Hey, they hanging on by a thread.
They are.
Man.
They
it's
really
just always
are.
Some crazy bit that they doing.
And they used to be strong, man.
Man, they were top notch.
They were strong.
They were top notch, man. Now they got to do bits like this mm-hmm. now.
But I have no problem with this. I think it's pretty cool. Okay. Like I said, not the smell. The smell would keep me up all night. The sound.
All right. Yeah, I can't sleep to white noise, man. It got to be so quiet.
I liked it.
I can't sleep with the TV on. I can't do none of that.
I had the ocean.
Quiet.
I had the ocean.
I can't even do that.
That was pretty sweet.
All right. That's the mixtape. Yeah. You get it at 120 every weekday right here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, we're getting ready to hand off to our guys, Clint and Ron, in the drive. We'll get you set up for that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, appreciate you hanging out with us on a Victory Reaction Monday. We're getting ready to let the guys of the drive take over. But before we do that, you've got to hear from the head coach of your Houston Texans talking to the assembled media.
Stephon Diggs and the severity of injury.
For Diggs, we're still evaluating him, see where he is.
Is there anything good about or any advantage about playing on Thursday? I've never really heard coaches and players speak glowingly about it. Is there any advantage or positive to it?
Yeah, the positive with playing on Thursday is it's a short week, so you get to flush whatever happened. You flush it out even quicker than the previous week. And then I think the best part about Thursday is just getting the extended weekend off. So that'll be, you know, everybody is looking forward to a little off time. So that'll be the best part about it.
Coach, after going back in watching the tape, what were some of the things that you all could fix on the offensive side of the ball in the second half?
For our offense, I thought, you know, overall, and we ran the ball well. Joe at over 100 yards rushing. He's continues to show up big time for us in the run game. The way our guys block up front in the run game, and the way they, you know, not only the front, but our tight ends, our receivers, everybody involved. Guys did a really good job of working to stay attached and finish there. In our passing game, thought we had a lot of really good reps in the passing game. CJ was able to make a lot of plays and go through his progression. I mean, full field read. So he's only able to do that with good protection. So we had a lot of great reps from all of our guys.
How important will it be for Dell to continue to improve and do things for your team?
What I love about our game last week is, you know, what you saw is multiple guys stepping up, making plays. That's what excites me the most about our team is different guys, whether it's Hutch, Mitch, Dalton, everybody, Rob. It's just a lot of different guys stepping up and making plays, and that's what we'll continue to see.
What goes into the decision to reinsert Kenyon when Jarrett gets hurt, and what part of the evaluation of that decision was Kendrick Green?
Yeah, Jared did a really nice job when he went in and had some good plays. Unfortunately, he was out. Then Kenyon was back in. It was no overthinking it. Kenyon got a lot of reps throughout the week, and he was the guy to go in, and he has a lot of good reps as well. A lot of people want to, you know, focus on the bad. Everybody has bad reps here or there, and we can all focus on that, or we can look at the positive. I think he has some really good plays as well.
So, did you feel like you all made strides in the pass protection, or where do you stand on that?
I think when CJ is able to throw for as much as he threw for and make the plays he's able to make, of course, guys did a good job in the passing game. And look, everybody wants to talk about the pass blocking and all those things. Our guys did a good job, you know. And overall, we've had a lot of good reps in the passing game. So let's talk about those good reps that we've had.
Is Jarrett in the concussion protocol?
Jarrett is in the concussion protocol.
What are some of the challenges that the Jets present?
Well, one thing about the Jets is they have playmakers all across the field, right? A lot of playmakers, a lot of veteran guys who have been successful in this league for a while. So you look at their offense, just the receiver position with Wilson, with Adams, like it's a tough match for us, right? So we have to be on our guys. You got to play sticky and coverage versus guys. And also the running back position, they got two backs, young back and Allen, and also Breece Hall, explosive players, right? Explosive physical backs that can make plays all across. And their defense is, you know, they've been a top 10 defense for a while. So it's a tough matchup and one we're really excited about, looking forward to.
You have a sideline view, a great view of Daniil and Will when they're on the field together. What
do you see from them, just, you know, them two being so destructive?
What I see from both of those guys is, man, wrecking havoc, right? They can have constant pressure on whoever we play. It doesn't matter. They're able to generate pressure. It doesn't always result in sacks, but it results in incomplete passes. It results in, you know, inaccurate passes that our DBs are able to, you know, force PBUs and make interceptions on the ball because of how those guys are rushing, how they're speeding the quarterback up. Like, to have a great defense, you have to have a really good front. And our guys have gotten better each week, and I'm very pleased with where they are. And they've been the reason of why we're playing really good defense.
A couple of players, both yesterday and again today, defensive players credited the coaching staff for some creativity and basically the play you called on the Hail Mary. You kind of have a philosophy of whatever you can do to prevent the pass even being made.
Yeah, my philosophy is put our players in positions so they can go make plays. It's not about me. It's about those guys, and there in that last play, it's about Will, Daniil, and their effort and how they, you know, got after the quarterback to force him to not even be able to throw the football. Like, it's about those guys and, you know, just who they are, and not only as players but as people. Like, they represent all the right things. They're all about the right stuff, the effort, right, the strain, the relentlessness that they show each and every snap. Like, that's why they make a lot of plays for us.
What strides are you seeing from Jalen Petrie as far as coverage? And
Jalen has continued to do really good things for us in coverage. He's been locked in the past couple weeks, really on the details and fundamentals of his job and what we're asking him to do. And, you know, it's no play better than a play that he made for the interception there before the end of half. He's just in his technique, eyes in the right spot, playing the right technique, and big plays happen when you just lock in on the small details. And that's what the small detail, I know we mention it a lot and talk about it a lot, but that's what it looks like. And it's maybe boring to some people, but to me, that's how you make the plays. It's not the wild plays. It's just being consistent in who you are, consistent in your play, and you make the big plays when that happens.
Game playing against Aaron Rodgers going back to your 49ers days. What have you seen from him since he's been in a Jets jersey versus maybe years past?
Yeah, man, I haven't spent much time going back thinking about, you know, the 49er days with Aaron Rodgers. We'll get into more of that, you know, after see where they are right now as an offense and what he's been doing with the Jets.
How do you guys go about with a young, talented player like Kenny Green? Obviously, you guys pulled him, put him back in the game. What's kind of the process of when you're coaching him, not beating him down too much to where he can completely lose his confidence? If he loses the confidence, you just completely lose the player. But coach him in a way to where he can still have that confidence to eventually get out that road. What's kind of that balance where now you're not overcoaching him versus trying to get him on track to play to the capable ability that he does have?
And for all of our players, when it comes to coaching, it's all about, you know, just being positive and uplifting guys and trying to help them as best we can with techniques, fundamentals, try to help our guys to go out and play their best. And it's always encouragement from everyone, right? But as we all know, we are all still in the business. We have to get our job done. And no matter what position you play, no matter, you know, what's your role, like, you have to go out and get your job done, and you have to play to the best of your ability. So we'll keep encouraging. We'll keep uplifting our guys. Everything about here and what we do is about positive energy. And that's who I am. That's what I represent, and that won't change.
Best matchup, the one where you decided to receive the ball to start the game versus defer, which I feel like you typically do?
Yeah, for this one, it's just a decision I made to get us started, right? And I felt like our offense, you know, I wanted those guys to go out. I wanted CJ to touch the ball first and get us started, move down the field and get us some points. And, you know, Damian started us off right with an explosive kick return. That was one of our keys to victory, of getting an explosive in the return game. So Damian starting the game off that way in our offense, being in control, being able to drive down and get points, that was what I envisioned on when I took the football.
Positive things with pressure and protection. CJ didn't have his best game against the Packers, but then improved against a lot of pressure yesterday. Just where did you see him improve when he was facing a lot of pressure?
I thought CJ did a really good job of just having command in the pocket, having command of the entire offense. Like, when, again, you know, we talk about the pressure, yeah, they those guys make plays too. Some good designs by their defense. Coach Bradley did a good job of some designing some rushes that were effective. But we also did a good job of handling it. CJ did an awesome job of commanding the pocket, stepping up in the pocket, two hands on the ball, going through all of his progressions, taking a check down when the check down was there, hitting his hot answers when his hot answers were there. He was just in complete control the entire game. And, you know, he didn't get flustered at all. He led in a positive way. He had great spirits, upbeat the entire game. And when CJ is playing that way, our team is in a really good spot.
There you go. Head coach D'Amico Ryans talked to the Assembly Media after a 23-24. I mean, on the day after, because he obviously talked after yesterday. But what did you find interesting? Because I know for me, hearing the reinforcement of the way that they are going to handle Kenyon Green, because he was asked specifically about that, that is a decision that they're going to have to make very quickly as they turn around to Thursday night football in New York or in New Jersey, really, against the Jets. How are they going to make that decision at left guard after you obviously made the decision to pull Kenyon Green? Encouraging, uplifting remains the story and the topic. And I don't know if that gives me any insight into like how they'll make that decision. Obviously, not necessarily just with this Thursday game, but going forward. But it seems like they're still going to have some belief and some trust in Kenyon Green.
I hear you, and I don't think you're wrong. But I also feel like they understand they're kind of just in a bad spot. Period, at least for this week.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? What could you conceivably do?
Because Jared Patterson is in the concussion protocol. He
right.
did confirm.
And Kendrick Green with a D, I don't know what the confidence level is there. So there, it's almost like he's answering, you know, kind of that whole thing of, well, it wasn't all bad. You know, it wasn't all bad.
He almost explicitly said that early yeah. on in his, yeah. yeah, the idea that, yeah, it wasn't all bad. And in
and
order
to hang their hat on the good. Well, okay. Jets play some defense too, you know. So, but they're also, what else can they do?
I mean, yeah, especially once you've established that is the tone and tenor that yeah. you use, right?
Yeah.
Going and deviating from that would shift a lot of things, right? You do have to kind of keep that energy the same, mm-hmm. I guess, in some ways. It'll be fascinating to see.
And as you said, you can't just go to the offensive lineman store.
No, you cannot.
You know,
man, how helpful would it be?
That would be really cool.
Offensive lineman store, though, because not only would that mean that you could go get another one, you could also maybe make some returns, right? Like, what's the return policy on this offensive lineman?
Yeah,
right. I got my receipt. You know what I mean? Like, that would also be.
Let me get a left guard.
Yeah.
Let me get a right guard.
Can I try that center?
Yeah, okay. Oh, you're the guy that goes to Baskin Robbins and gets the flavor, huh?
How much you want for that left tackle?
Yeah. I definitely want the guard, okay? But I kind of want to try that center. It might be better than
all right, so I really need the tackle, but I'm going to put the center on layaway right quick. I'll be back in about a month to pay that one off. Yeah. No, that would be helpful. But yeah, that's going to be a very interesting thing to watch over the course of this, is not just this game, because I think the decision is made a little easier for them with Patterson being the concussion protocol. He's not playing.
Yeah.
He's not playing on Thursday. But... Right now, in a couple of weeks, when you face off against the Lions,
might have a different story.
That'll be a really interesting thing to watch. Yeah. We're welcoming in our guys from the drive, Clint and Ron, as they're getting ready to take over for their portion of the Victory Reaction Monday. Fellas, how we doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Got a dub. Them Hogs got a dub. Them Aggies got a dub.
That's true.
Yeah.
Jayhawks, not so much.
They were close.
The ball game.
They were close, though.
Yeah.
We had a little interstate rivalry here with me being a K-State fan, you being a Kansas fan.
Man. Games keep coming the same way.
Yeah.
How you going to blow it in the fourth?
Yeah.
They've had the lead all six of their losses in the fourth quarter.
I didn't know that. Holy.
Man, it's tough. Hey, Jalen Daniels was
No, he wasn't. He's been the reason. He's blown everyone.
No, he wasn't.
Nah, he was making it tough on K-State, though, with his legs.
Until it was 340 left.
That's right.
Second down and 10.
No, he wasn't. Right. Take that out of your mouth.
Basketball season coming here soon, though.
Seriously, I don't want to spend too much, but the college version of on the field, I want to specify this, on the field of Deshaun Watson. You know how you don't hear from the guy that played here? The guy who played at Kansas and when Texas and Oklahoma was in the conference?
Yeah.
The preseason offensive player of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know
different guy.
Who that person is. There is a Jameis Winston somewhere on that roster. That could have maybe given
Anyway.
Well, yeah, Jason Bean ain't in, and he went to the league. Varying different excitements college-wise. I'm interested to see what the level of excitements are NFL-wise with this Texas team. And you got 4 hours to break that down with these fine fellas.
We got
fellas. 3 hours. Damn, I'm always trying to squeeze a little bit extra. Y'all not going to run overtime? No overtime?
D'Amico. We got D'Amico, the coach's show,
true,
baby.
That's true. That's who you want to hear. But you want to hear these fine fellas for the next 3 hours. 3 hours here on Sports Radio 610. In the loop, we're done and about to hand it off to these fine fellas. You're listening to KLT, KLT HD2 on Odyssey Sports Station. And for the next 3 hours, The Drive is live.